You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. And you can also shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And that text to voicemail line's always there for you, Bulls Nation, at 331-979-1369. Just want to tell you all before we get started today that the NBA Draft GOAT, Chad Ford himself, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Karelis will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by our great friends at Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. In case you weren't sure, that's tomorrow. Boom. Wow. One day away from the NBA draft. I know Bulls fans not super hyped given that we don't have a first round pick, but there are a lot of rumors swirling around. And hey, maybe the Bulls get involved in some way, maybe make a trade, maybe help facilitate a trade between two other teams on draft night to try to improve their roster a little bit as we get through this offseason before 21-22. A few things I wanted to touch on today. And first, by the way, if you didn't check him out already, on Monday, I had my guy John Sabine join me for our Monday episode, talking Bulls, talking Olympics, all kinds of fun stuff. So go check that out. And on Tuesday, I was joined by Rick Camp of 670 The Score. We had a great chat about all things Bulls and the big decisions they faced this offseason. So go listen to those if you haven't already. And here we are, one day away from the NBA draft. A lot of little Bulls tidbits here and there over the last 24 to 48 hours. I'll focus on just a few of them that I think are the most interesting. First, I'm going to talk about the latest Derrick Rose rumor/report and his potential return to Chicago. There was also some DeMar DeRozan chatter making the rounds around NBA Twitter earlier this week. And the trade that happened between Memphis and New Orleans that could in some way impact the Bulls and their pursuit of one Lonzo Ball. So all of that ahead here on Locked On Bulls today. But let's start with this. So Woj and Zach Lowe do their annual offseason, it's almost draft day special, right, for ESPN. And in that special, in their conversation about a lot of veteran point guards and where they might go this offseason, here is what Woj had to say about Derrick Rose. Quote, Derrick Rose is another name in Chicago. I don't think he is necessarily at the top of their priority list, but if he doesn't return to New York, is there a role for Derrick Rose with the Bulls? I think there are a lot of contingencies all these teams are working through. Okay, so there's not a whole lot there, right? It is Woj just kind of pontificating about, hey, could this potentially be the offseason where Derrick Rose and the Bulls find each other again? Because it's Woj, it certainly carries more weight. If this basic question of could Derrick Rose and the Bulls be connected this offseason, if it were something like that from someone other than Woj, everybody would just brush it aside, saying, well, that's not anything. And Woj himself isn't even really reporting anything here. He's just saying Derrick Rose and the Bulls could be. Not even, you know, it wasn't even a tweet of Woj saying the Bulls are reported to have considered interest in Derrick Rose. Not even an official Woj bomb. He's just doing this pre-draft show with Zach Lowe, and Derrick Rose comes up, and he throws Derrick Rose in Chicago in the same sentence. So naturally, Bulls fans are all freaking out because that's what we do. Look, as Woj himself pointed out, I don't think that D. Rose would be very high at the top of the list of point guards or combo guards that AK and Eversley might be looking at this offseason to help Zach to improve this roster, to add some of that playmaking and also ideally some backcourt defense, some perimeter defense. Because when you say those things, you don't think Derrick Rose. Don't get me wrong. He had a very strong 2021 season especially when he came over in the trade to New York, his second stint with the Knicks. He did well. And I think, you know, between the Knicks and the Pistons, he averaged just shy of 15 points and just over 4 assists per game on 48% shooting from the field and a pretty impressive 38.8% from downtown. Derrick Rose has never been a deadly three-point shooter. That's never been a big part of his game. But those are some pretty impressive numbers. And it had him in the conversation, even a finalist, for sixth man of the year this season, and deservedly so. That being said, when you think about what this Bulls backcourt needs, Derrick Rose doesn't really check many of the boxes. He can add some scoring punch. He could take some scoring pressure off of Zach LaVine. But despite that 38.8% from downtown last season, I am not convinced that you can see that steadily from Derrick Rose. Because not that long ago, even after he had made his comeback with Minnesota and the 50-point game and the comeback story, he had a huge downswing in his three-point efficiency at some point in there. So obviously 39% or close to 39% from three is more than respectable and certainly something that would help space the Bulls offense next season. I just don't know if you can rely on that from Derrick Rose. And then he's undersized and he's never been a particularly good defender. And those are the other things that you really need from your backcourt addition to play alongside Zach LaVine. As we have seen, you know, we're watching Zach in these Olympics. He's getting some credit for some more effort and some hustle plays and some decent lockdown defense one-on-one, but he also continues to be a player who can get lost guarding off the ball. He has shown that he has gotten in foul trouble numerous times so far in these Olympic competitions. So we know that Zach LaVine, credit for trying, is not a perfect defender. You might say he is still even just shy of a par defender and a slightly subpar defender. I don't think it's too harsh to say that about Zach as much as we love him. Derrick Rose, aging and has never been a good defender and is undersized. I would like to see the Bulls, if they do address this backcourt situation and add a point guard or a combo guard, I want that guy to be somebody with length and somebody who can defend, because I think that that's what this roster and this backcourt needs. Derrick Rose is not that guy. As much as I love him, as much as I would like to, at some point before he officially hangs him up, see Rose play a handful of games, if not even a full season, at the end of his career before he retired. I would like to see that in a Bulls jersey. I would. I know my guy Kendall rags on me all the time, calls me a D-Rose hater because I didn't want him back on the Bulls a couple years ago when it made no sense to bring him back, in my opinion. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense right now, given what this Bulls roster needs. And, you know, hey, 4.2 assists off the bench last season between Detroit and New York. That's nothing to sneeze at. It's solid. But, you know, is Derek the half-court run-the-offense kind of guard that we're particularly looking for to, as I said, take some of that burden off of Zach LaVine? Not particularly. He's not. And he is like an older and somewhat similar version to Coby White. You know, White certainly more deadly off the ball. It just doesn't seem like a natural fit with D Rose. The other element to that is he going to get a big payday because he just almost won sixth man of the year? And if he does, good for him. Would he be open to coming back to Chicago to play a backup role, a reserve role, given that, hey, we're also hearing as part of that Woj and Lowe special that Tomas Satoransky, who has a partial guarantee on his last year of his Bulls deal, that decision is right around the corner, the deadline for it, is drawing significant interest from several teams across the NBA. If the Bulls find a way to trade Sato and bring in some other piece that is beneficial to their roster and it's well-rounded this next season, and Coby White is on the shelf for the first month or two of the season because of his offseason shoulder surgery, maybe then Derrick Rose makes a little bit more sense. We'll see. As I said, that decision on Sato and Thad Young as well are, you know, right here at the end of July and into August. So we'll see what happens there. And maybe if Sato is a player that gets traded away and Kobe's rehab takes a little bit longer, then Derrick Rose makes a little bit more sense. But again, if he is offered money and a starting spot somewhere else, maybe this isn't the summer that we see Derrick Rose come home. All right, we've got to get to the DeMar DeRozan stuff in just a minute. First, though, wanted to tell y'all about Built Bar. They are the sponsors for our Locked On NBA live draft show coming up Thursday night. They are also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. U.S. track and field, all of the track and field events are coming up very shortly here in the schedule for the Olympics. And if they're eating Built Bars, you should probably eat some Built Bars too, because they're Olympians, for crying out loud. Built Bars are delicious and they are healthy for you. If you haven't tried all these flavors like coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, you can get a mixed box from Built.com to try all of these flavors and figure out which one is your favorite. All of these Built Bars have either 17 or 18 grams of protein, so packed with protein, while only having between 130 and 180 calories. Only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and just 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. So go to Built.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, y'all. Next thing on the rumor mill in the week of the NBA draft, when all kinds of crazy stuff is flying around, DeMar DeRozan. Interesting, interesting stuff here. So this one definitely doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, given that similarly to Derrick Rose, DeRozan doesn't check a lot of the boxes of what this Bulls roster is lacking and trying to add this offseason. I mean, you know, you think about DeRozan and his scoring punch paired with Zach and Vooch, and that sounds great. But again, like D. Rose, DeMar DeRozan, not a three-point threat, not a viable three-point threat, never has been. And everybody I know between CP3 and Booker and Middleton and, you know, the finals, it's the comeback of the mid-range and respect the mid-range. And yes, that is true. And it's also true that the Bulls need some more three-point shooting, and DeRozan doesn't really provide that. So this was from Mark J. Spears, during an episode of The Jump, the NBA show on ESPN hosted by Rachel Nichols, and he was talking about the future of DeMar DeRozan because the future of the Spurs is kind of cloudy right now. Are they going to, you know, kind of just rebuild and focus on DeJounte Murray, who is another name Bulls fans have talked about a lot recently, and White and Walker and all those guys? Maybe DeRozan, who is on an expiring deal coming into this season, isn't planning on sticking around in San Antonio, and maybe the Bulls might be a team that wants to look to see, hey, if San Antonio says, let's trade this guy instead of losing him for nothing, maybe the Bulls are a team that's interested. And that is what Mark J. Spears said in this segment on The Jump. He also threw the Lakers, the Clippers, the Spurs, and the Knicks in there. So there is still some possibility, and maybe even the most likely outcome is DeRozan stays in San Antonio, at least to start the 21-22 season. But the Lakers and Clippers and Knicks, three other big market teams, also reportedly somewhat interested in DeMar DeRozan. So at this point in DeRozan's career, you know, traded away from Toronto for Kawhi, and then Toronto wins the chip. The Spurs, all the credit in the world to Pop, but the Spurs are not the Spurs of yesteryear, and he is in a stacked Western Conference and really nowhere close to contending. And that's no fault of DeMar DeRozan's. There's just not a whole lot of talent around him there right now. And he is proven to be, even as recently as this past season, a reliable 20-plus points per game scorer. He's also, to his credit, improved his playmaking ability over the last couple of years in San Antonio. His assist numbers have skyrocketed. His per-36 assists this past season, highest in his career by far. So maybe there is some of that element of what the Bulls need is some more playmaking, and maybe the new and improved version of veteran DeRozan could provide some of that. But he doesn't give you three-point shooting, and he doesn't really give you much defense. So, I mean, again, as cool as it would be to have DeRozan, LaVine, and Vooch on the same team and seeing those three rack up points every night, I don't know if he makes the Bulls substantially better in the we now have three stars and they fit with each other well kind of better. Like, jumping from didn't make the play-in to we're going to be the fourth or the fifth seed in the East kind of better. And clearly, if the Bulls are the team that makes a move on DeRozan, do you risk getting him for a year and then him walking? Do you try and come up with some kind of deal where it's understood that DeRozan is not only coming to the Bulls for this season, but it will commit to them long-term? Then you got to sign DeRozan, who is, I believe, 31 years old, to a long, close-to-max contract. And is that what AK and Eversley really want to do? Who knows? We'll see if anything more transpires about the DeRozan stuff as we, you know, get closer to the draft on Thursday night. Who knows? We could see all kinds of dominoes falling. We've already seen a pretty big trade that the Pelicans made. We'll get to that in just another minute or so. But maybe DeRozan is a big domino that falls. If San Antonio says, all right, well, instead of trying to deal with this midseason at the deadline, if we're decidedly moving on from DeRozan, or he is informing us that he is decidedly moving on from the Spurs, let's deal with this now. And if that's the case and the Bulls are interested, how interested are they as far as committing that kind of financial commitment to DeRozan long term, convincing him to stay here? And what can they pitch and what can they offer to San Antonio compared to those other interested teams? Because the Knicks got money to spend. Clippers and Lakers, even if they don't, the Clippers are absolutely effed by the cap right now as things stand. You would assume that Kawhi is going to opt into that player option out of security, given the fact that he's rehabbing an ACL right now, and there's another $30 million plus in the bank. The Clippers cap situation is clearly tricky, but as John and I have discussed, as Dave and I have discussed, if it's the Lakers, if it's the Clippers, if it's a big market team, if it's a coastal team, and a player wants to go there, it will get done one way or another. So can the Bulls compete with the offers and the pitches, offers to the organization and pitches to the player in DeRozan, better than Lakers, Clippers, and Knicks? I don't know. I don't know if that's something that these Bulls, as they are properly constructed, can pull off. But it wouldn't break my heart if they don't, because again, respect the hell out of DeRozan. He is a very good player. Does he fit what the Bulls need right here and now? I don't think so. Like Derrick Rose, I think that's a square peg in a round hole. And that would be a lot of money and a big commitment for a square peg in a round hole kind of player. If the Bulls and the Spurs are going to have a phone call between now and draft night, or at some point this offseason, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, despite the fact that we've got this report that the Bulls might be interested in DeRozan, I would rather those conversations be about sign and trading Lowry and getting DeJounte Murray. Because I think DeJounte Murray gives this Bulls team what it needs in a lot more boxes than DeMar DeRozan. And y'all might think I'm crazy with that take, but that's honestly how I see it right now. And if you think I'm crazy, I would love to hear your side of it. If you are all on board with the Bulls getting DeRozan, hit us up on that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Would love to hear your take on, yes, I want DeMar DeRozan in Chicago starting this season, and here's why. Okay, a little bit more to get to on today's show. We've got to talk about the whole Lonzo thing with the Pelicans and the trade. And of course, it's just there. Oh my God, can we get to the offseason already? I just want to figure out what happens. I'm getting fairly impatient, if you couldn't tell. Before we get to Lonzo, though, quick word from our sponsors at rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same auto parts from a chain store or car dealership when you have a computer in your office, in your home, you've got a smartphone in your pocket, you've got easy access to rockauto.com wherever you are? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Take, for example, the Honda Odyssey fuel pump, which would cost you $353 from your typical chain store or dealership. At rockauto.com, you can get one for just $216. That is huge savings. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, for every car, for every make and model. every single way you look at it, you're going to save money by shopping at rockauto.com. They've got everything you could possibly need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpeting. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, y'all. So the Pelicans and the Grizz make a trade here. We've got Bledsoe on the move. We've got Steven Adams on the move. We've got Valanciunas on the move. And while those players are all useful in their own right, and no disrespect to any of them, everybody is reacting to this trade by saying the Pelicans are doing this for a couple of reasons. Could be one of two reasons, or potentially they're hedging and it's for both reasons. This move cleared some significant cap space for New Orleans. So they wanted that cap space so that they can keep Lonzo Ball paired with Ingram and Zion and have the space and have the money to either make him the best offer possible to prevent him from signing an offer sheet somewhere else, or if he, as a restricted free agent, does sign an offer sheet with another team, that they have the money to match it and keep him as that restricted free agent. The other avenue is that they are prepared to move on from Lonzo Ball and let him sign and walk wherever he chooses in free agency. Maybe it's the Bulls, maybe it's the Knicks, maybe it's wherever. And that trade was made to free up cap space because their eyes are on something and someone much bigger and better than Lonzo Ball. And the name that everybody seems to be talking about is Kyle Lowry. Everybody's been trying to figure out where Kyle Lowry is going to go, as most everybody believes his time in Toronto has finally come to an end. Everybody thought he was going to get traded at the deadline, and it was surprising when they did not move Kyle Lowry. Lowry has, a substantial amount left in the tank. He can be a strong starting guard in the NBA still. What kind of money is he after? And is he more after money, or is he more after another shot at a chip? Because he's got the one chip with the Raptors in 2019. So he will always be a champion. Is he looking for one more big, big payday as a player on the wrong side of 30 who could still probably get that big of a payday from teams that would love to bring in a name like Kyle Lowry? Not only are you getting star quality point guard play, but you're getting a veteran leader and a guy who knows what it takes to win because he won a chip and he won it recently. So that's why you've heard damn near all 30 teams mentioned when it comes to where is Kyle Lowry going to go. And I think he'll have his pick. He could go to Philly and try and be the guy to get Joel Embiid over the hump, assuming they move on from Ben Simmons. He could go to New York and play with that young core and Julius Randle and be, you know, the small man to Randle's big man for a team that was the fourth seed in the East last year. He could go to the coast if he wants to. I still think there's a shot that Pat Riley is lurking in the shadows down in Miami, and he is going to jump on Kyle Lowry to pair with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. I think that that is still very much a possibility. So I think basically Kyle Lowry has a lot of options in front of him. Does he want his best shot at a chip, or does he want a big payday? Assuming he wants at least a substantial payday, that could be why we saw the Pelicans make this trade, because they see Kyle Lowry as their target and they needed the money to be able to make him an offer that was at least not disrespectful compared to some probably nice flowery offers he's going to get from some teams that are big markets and bigger draws than New Orleans. Maybe some of them are more talented than New Orleans, and maybe some aren't. It depends on how good you think that Zion and Brandon Ingram are right now, and how ready Zion and Brandon Ingram are ready to win right now. Because Kyle Lowry, Zion, and Brandon Ingram, dude, I mean, I don't know how good of a playoff team, but you got to imagine that's a playoff team, even in a pretty competitive Western Conference, right? There are some West teams that might fall off. You know, injuries are always an issue. Is Phoenix really going to be that good again? Is Chris Paul coming back? We were just talking about how the Spurs might be falling off any minute now. They might get rid of DeJounte Murray. They might get rid of DeMar DeRozan. You know, even if the West is as stacked as it is, as it was this past season and for the last decade, for that matter, Kyle Lowry, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson, assuming all three are healthy and available for, you know, 65 to 70 of 82, I think that's a playoff team. But does Kyle Lowry see that as enticing as LA, New York, Miami, Philadelphia? Teams where he can go get paid and he's got a shot to win. I think New Orleans, it would be hard pressed for them to beat out really any of those teams like that. But even still, that's the name that everybody started throwing around when the Pelicans made that move. So maybe they're trying to go after a big swing, because they also have to worry about keeping Zion Williamson happy and convincing him when the time comes in the not too distant future to sign an extension on the dotted line to keep their franchise player and convince him that they are committed to winning, building around him, and doing so now. Because the last thing the Pelicans can afford is to have another Anthony Davis. Yeah, you're good. Honestly, at times you are a top 10, maybe even a top 5 player in this league. We don't build around you properly. We get one. I think they had one playoff series win in AD's tenure in New Orleans, and that's it. And he says, to hell with y'all. Get me to LA because I want to go play with LeBron. They can't let that happen with Zion Williamson, and they know it. I think, hey, maybe they got lucky. Some people think it was rigged that the Pelicans were gifted Zion after losing Anthony Davis to a big market. Who knows? There's no way we'll ever know. I personally am not someone who buys into the conspiracy theory that the NBA draft lottery is rigged. However, Zion needs to be convinced to stay. They need to convince him to sign that max extension that only they can offer him. And does Kyle Lowry or some other big name star to bring in and compete and help Zion now get them closer to getting that done? It's a similar conversation that we had with Giannis, Milwaukee, that extension, and the Jrue Holiday trade, which a lot of people said, three firsts and two swaps for Jrue Holiday? Like, yeah, the guy's good. No disrespect. He's been probably a top 10 point guard in the NBA for several years. Never quite all-star good, but always close to all-star good, consistent, and as good of a defensive guard as you will find in this league. So Milwaukee said, look, we don't think Giannis is going to bolt. All indications we have of what Giannis is telling us and telling the media is that he's committed to staying here and winning here, and he is going to sign that contract extension, the Supermax, to stay here. But just in case, as an insurance policy, just to double down and make really, really, really sure, let's do the best we can to bring in another very, very good piece and give ourselves a good shot at a champ this year. And that's what they did with the Holiday trade, and it worked. So might the Pelicans be in a similar frame of mind right now when it comes to building a winner so that they keep Zion happy, and what they might be willing to do to build that winner? Trades, contracts, we'll see. Simultaneously, you know, we talked about it, I think, at some point last week. Kyle Lowry was a name that was thrown out connected to Chicago. And Big David, I sat here and laughed and said, all of these options that Kyle Lowry has in front of him, ain't no way he's picking the Bulls. Wishful thinking. Would be very pleasantly surprised if it happened. Hey, that'd be fun. That'd be crazy. And meanwhile, again, the other side of all of this with the Pelicans trade is, are they doing this so they can afford to keep Lonzo, Or are they doing this because they've already decided that they're not keeping Lonzo and want to spend money on somebody better? And if it's that case, does this make the Bulls acquiring Lonzo Ball easier? You know, simple logic stands to reason that, yeah, if you're not, if the Bulls do have Lonzo at the top of their list, and I'm not saying that they do, I'm just saying hypothetically, if he is at the top of their list, or when other opportunities fall off and he is bumped up to the top of the list in whatever frame of time that is, will it be easier for the Bulls to get Lonzo if the Pelicans are one fewer team that they have to compete against for his services? Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, the Bulls are one of several teams, just like Kyle Lowry, who are reported to be interested in Lonzo Ball. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, this is a crazy time of the year. Off season, because we're trying to get back towards the October start, is a little bit squished together. So the next few weeks, we got the draft Thursday night, the reaction and fallout to the draft. Maybe more trades will happen in the days after the draft. And then free agency, boom, right around the corner. And also, you know, the Bulls have some other decisions to make. Lauri Markkanen, Daniel Theis, Thad Young and Sato, their partial guarantees. That deadline's coming up right around the corner. Lot of things to figure out if you are Arturas and Eversley. And Bulls fans, well, we will sit here and wait and see what happens. If you're looking for more content and coverage of the NBA draft, again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, check out the Locked On NBA Draft Show. Some great talent there. Chad Ford, a great, great follow and someone who is impeccable with his draft coverage. He will be a part of it, as well as some of our other Locked On hosts. So check that out Thursday night if you're looking for something other than, you know, the standard broadcast. Check out the Locked On NBA Mock Draft that is up now. Lots of great content in there from all of our local experts around the Locked On Network, something that I love about working for this podcast network. And it's something that is, I think, very unique when it comes to the kind of content that we produce, because we've got national experts, but we've also got the local experts getting you guys ready for everything you could possibly need to know on draft night. And again, just because the Bulls do not have a first round pick coming into draft night doesn't mean that some crazy stuff might not happen. Maybe the Bulls make a trade. Maybe the Bulls try and move back into the first round. We'll see. Either way, you got to be prepared. So get all of your great draft coverage and content from the Locked On NBA Network. That's it for today. Appreciate everybody for listening and tuning in. Hope my guy Big Dave is enjoying his vacation out on the West Coast. I'm going to try and get one more pod in later this week. Maybe a bit of a draft reaction. Maybe try and get to some mailbag as well. But in the meantime, enjoy your Wednesday and your Thursday. Enjoy the NBA draft. I'll talk to you at some point after the NBA draft to respond to anything that the Bulls did, either unexpected or otherwise. In the meantime, hit us up at that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. And we are at Locked On Bulls. For Big Dave, I'm Matt. See you red. Be good.